Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Guilty Movie Pleasures. In-depth discussion on movies, no matter how guilty they make you feel.
Oh, what is up, Guilty Movie Pleasure audience? We are back. Sadly, without Josh McCuga here.
Aww.
He actually booked so a Hallmark movie.
He did?
No, I'm just kidding. Actually, Hallmark is...
I really believed you.
Hallmark is hunting him down from all the times that he's made fun of their movies and the titles of them, so he is in the witness protection program. Turns out Hallmark has a very violent response to that. So, I'm kidding. He's doing something with Between the Sheets. But I have two very special guests on the show today. I'm going to talk to this camera. It seems like fun. Two very special guests on the show today. One, you've heard about... You've heard me talk about several times. She is a lovely actress.
Oh, geez.
You've seen her on Blackish, several national commercials. She does a lot of voiceover as well, maybe even a couple audiobooks you've listened to on Audible. She also happens to be my wife, so she puts up with a lot of crap from me. Give it up for Renee Dorian, aka Renee Begley in real life,
That's
her stage
right.
name. Welcome to the show.
Not my stage name. It was my maiden name.
It was your maiden name.
But then I got married to you,
and
I wanted to keep my name because I am the third daughter, and my poor father will never have his name. So I thought I'd keep it for the stage.
He'll never have his name.
Well, his name will never continue with three girls.
It dies with you three.
It dies, so I am keeping it for the stage.
How does it feel to be on the show after listening to it for so long
and watching
so many terrible movies with me?
Oh, yeah. Well, we did one last night together, so...
Yeah.
Now we can chat about it. But yeah, I'm very excited to be here. And
thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And everybody, now you know that...
The leprechaun.
Now you know, everyone, that I do have a wife, and it's not just
I'm not fake. He didn't pay me. Well, he has paid in ways, but he didn't officially pay me
to be here.
Look at
the ring on her finger. I had to pay. So, and also, to Renee's left is a very funny actor. He has been in Get Hard. You've seen him on Eastbound and Down. And in the upcoming feature, The Funhouse Massacre, which we're all pretty excited about for various reasons, obviously. Eric Chavarria.
Yay!
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome.
Eric, how does it feel to be on Guilty Movie Pleasures?
Oh, it feels orgasmic.
Yes, I was. That's what we hope. We hope that everybody feels orgasmic being on here.
It really does feel that way.
So you've been on Eastbound and Down. You were in The Funhouse Massacre, which Renee and I wrote The Funhouse Massacre, in case you're wondering.
Yes, we did.
Renee is also in The Funhouse Massacre. I got so caught up in the wife talk and talking about everything else.
That's all right.
Yeah,
that's another portion of our lives.
So before we get into the cinema classic, Leprechaun, starring Jennifer Aniston, and yes, I have the 4-pack.
Why? And he discovered it was full screen last night, too.
Oh, that
it was
me
hilarious. When he put it in, he was like... Wait, this is full screen? He would have not bought the DVD if he knew it was full screen.
I almost pulled the ripcord on
because
it was full screen.
Yeah.
But that's beside the point. So, let's talk a little bit about The Funhouse Massacre, because I like to whore it out on here. Why not?
Yeah.
But The Funhouse Massacre, we got the poster.
There
I don't know, Jonathan's showing you right
Very
now.
Very cool.
It's a horror comedy that my wife and I wrote, and it's about six maniacs that break out of an asylum and descend upon a funhouse based on their crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And who do you play in it?
I play Lori.
What's Lori got going for?
I'm the bumblebee. That's what I dress up as for Halloween. And I wouldn't say... There's so many characters that you can't really say, like, oh, I'm the hero or I'm
It's a very
best
ensemble
friend.
Piece.
It's a huge ensemble piece. So I'm the love interest to the character Morgan.
Play. She gets to kiss a strange dude in this movie.
There was a lot of tongue.
I said, if we're going to do a movie, I'm going to make out with someone else, not you.
Yep.
Just kidding. That's
and
terrible.
The funny thing is, we showed her grandma a clip from the movie where Morgan and Renee's character kiss, and she was like, "Oh,
she couldn't handle it."
And she asked me if I was okay with it, and I said, "Yeah." And then she got kind of weirded out. But then I looked at her.
Yeah,
and I
she
said,
was like, "You like watching Renee kiss
and
other men?"
And then I said the thing where I said, "Because I trust her," and she
and
was
and
like,
was,
"That's a
yeah,
good answer.
It's true."
You know, I'd say we got to do that sometime. I mean, I've had to kiss a ton of strange
women.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, Ben. Ever since Ben and I have been together, like I used to always play the characters that not always I shouldn't say that, but I played the I played
I used to
girls.
Always play some.
I played some horrors back in the day, but I used to have more. love scenes or things like that. And then as soon as
now half my audience is going to Google you to try and find
dating,
something.
Oh, God.
Don't get pervy, GMP audience.
As soon as we started dating, it stopped and I started becoming more of like the quirky best friend, which I love. Mm-hmm. But I never... Ever since we've been together, I never made out
and
with anyone.
And
he would start making... He had, like, so many love
scenes. Probably seven, I think.
And I was
counted.
Like, oh, no. When we do this movie, it's going down.
It's going down.
Did you tell him that we're planning on making out today?
You guys are going to make out at some point today.
We're having a love scene in here. So, I wrote that already.
Oh, enough about me making out with strange women.
So Lori's a meek character, and throughout the story, she becomes stronger and helps saving people in the funhouse.
There's some great badass fight scenes with the dentist.
Yes.
And some cool action movie one-liners, and you have a really fun, strong female presence, I feel like. I didn't mean to go like this while I said that.
I have a strong female presence. Not really. I don't, actually, as far as this goes, but...
In the movie,
that's what we wanted to do when we developed the characters, is we wanted to have, there's a lot of male characters, we wanted to make sure that the females were definitely strong. And
kicking ass,
and
too.
I think we've accomplished that.
And Eric, who do you play in the movie?
I play a very strong female character as well.
He's a beautiful woman.
Beautiful. Strong, with a deep voice, which I also, that's how strong women talk. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
No, I play, my character's name is Gerardo. Mm-hmm. And
which everybody calls you Gerardo, and they did in the auditions too, and I correct them every time.
Oh, thank you.
I was like, it's Gerardo.
Exactly. So it's
Gerardo.
That's my name. And I am dressed up as Machete. And I come in, like you said, there's not like a lead or anything like that in the film, but I do help save the day a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're kind of you're the unexpected hero, I feel like, where people just might write you off as just comedic relief, and then you get kind of badass. We don't want to spoil anything.
Right.
No. But you get
your entrance when you come, when
with the truck and the music playing?
That was so cool.
It's wonderful. It's definitely... one of those moments where everyone will cheer.
It's going to be awesome. Well, they did it.
That music was so good.
So good.
Yes.
And how
yes.
was it working on Eastbound and Down? How was Danny McBride and all that?
That
Joey
was
Hill?
So cool. Yeah, that was amazing. I got to have...
And that's shot in Mexico, right?
No, it was shot in Puerto Rico and in North Carolina.
Awesome.
And that was just amazing because we shot one take as written and then improv... all the other takes, basically.
Was that nerve-wracking to try and... I mean, I don't know how much improv background you have. You're super funny and improv a ton on our movie, so I assume a lot. But improving against somebody like Danny McBride, was that... Were you intimidated at all at first, or did you just go in and just screw it, I'm going to have a blast?
I didn't really think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I was so young back then. And so new. But no, this was like 4 years ago. But but I actually didn't think about it. I was nervous because I really was going out doing crazy things. Mm-hmm. Like I had a laughter on the first episode that I was in, and I was like, oh, they're going to fire me or they're going to do something,
Because
I was just like ridiculous. I just went like that's how my character laughs.
I remember that.
And they loved it. And I just felt really confident after that. And
that's
there was nothing I could do wrong. That's how they made me feel, which I feel like that's how every director should make their actors feel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I just did whatever. And then, like, my character had no lines written for that episode. And he was supposed to be only on one episode with no lines. He's just supposed to be kind of slow.
Really?
And just stand around and look the way I look.
And beautiful.
Yes.
Majestic.
Super handsome.
And thank you. And they said, oh, you can improvise if you want. Oh, and I was like, oh, cool. So, we started doing, like, little things. And when I watched the episode, they kept, like, 95%.
That's amazing.
That's awesome. That's something that actors need to realize out there is that's the perfect example of getting cast in something small. And then it's spiraling because of your abilities and because of how funny you are. And just going for broke about it. How many episodes did you end up being in?
I ended up being in four. But
you were supposed to be in one with no lines. That's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And you can swear, by the way. We can say whatever
we
want.
Oh, yeah. Fuck everybody. Fuck you people.
Okay,
you. Love you people.
That got rude. I love that I gave you permission to swear and it immediately got really aggressive.
We're losing our audience.
That was incredible.
No, I wanted to say that it was so great, but... Danny McBride goes, oh, you were so funny. If we have a second season or another season, we'll bring you back. And I was like, oh, thank you. But you know how directors always say things like that.
Yeah.
They was like, oh, we had to work together again. We love you. But like, it usually doesn't, not because they don't want to, it just you know, just that's how it goes. And they, sure enough, they called me back for 3 more episodes.
That's incredible.
The following year, yeah.
That is awesome.
That's so awesome. So if you got any questions for our Eastbound and Down actor over here, Eric Chavarria, please start rolling them in. We'll also talk afterwards on Periscope. You can we can continue the conversation now. But now, we have to get down to business. We've spent a little bit of time introing our guests because I like you to get to know them. But now, the lecture at hand. Drum roll, please. It's Leprechaun.
Yeah!
1993 classic of horror cinema.
Such a classic.
Jennifer Aniston's film debut.
Is it?
Yes,
I did not know that.
It's her film debut. I think this was before Friends or while she...
I want to say before.
I think definitely
I think it was
before.
I should do more research, but it's fine. I'm going to say it was before Friends. We talked about this. I've said how charming she is in this movie.
She is.
And you can tell that she's... You can
tell that she's a really great actress.
She's great because she handles some really shitty dialogue really well. But so, yeah, let's get started with Leprechaun.
Let's do
it. And the first thing I like to ask her, Josh, and I like to talk about is when you first saw the movie. And by the way, this is Renee's fault that we're watching this movie.
Yes.
We had three other movies. Jason X was an option.
Sorry, I had to throw it out there.
Renee threw this out there.
Okay, well, let me say why. Mm-hmm. I grew up watching horror films.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since I was a wee lad.
What was the first...
Did you like that? I threw in a little leprechaun joke there. Yeah,
if you want to talk Irish in this movie, apparently you just have to say we or me. Like, me gold. You're on me show right now.
That's
all you have to do. But so what was the first horror film you remember seeing? Do you remember?
The first horror film? I mean, I think it was definitely one of the Freddy movies. Nightmare on Elm Street.
And you saw Leprechaun when you were 8.
When it came out. So,
okay,
yeah. 93, so I was about 8 years old. And it's so funny because, like, I remember watching that movie at 8 and then how terrified I was at the leprechaun. I was like, the leprechaun is a terrifying man.
What was the scene? The scene with the truck scared you the most, right? When he slashes her leg?
Yes, so when he's underneath the car and he's kind of tickling the leg and then he slashes it, that terrified me as an 8-year-old girl. So I remember always jumping, like when my parents would pick me up, they had a big van, and I would jump into the van thinking that the leprechaun man was...
Did you ever explain that to your parents, or did they just think you were a really weird kid? She's playing a strange game every time
they knew I watched horror films. My mom even was like, you gotta stop watching those horror movies.
That's what I think now. We see stuff like The Conjuring, and then you can't sleep anytime I'm not around. You think that the creepy woman on the top of the dresser's gonna come get you.
But what I wanted to say is that, so I watched this as an 8-year-old little girl, and I was terrified of the leprechaun, right? So, growing up, I hadn't seen the movie until yesterday, again, but this whole time, all those years, I was always like, oh, the leprechaun is really scary. And now I'm like, what the hell was I thinking? Why did we watch it?
It doesn't age very well.
Oh, God.
Let's just say the 22 years has not helped this age like a fine wine.
No.
Right. It is scary, though. I mean, it is like a scary looking leprechaun.
He's creepy.
If you saw it right now, well, not right now.
If he came in, I'd be terrified. Yeah. I would be.
If he appeared right now and was a
and threw gold at us and then said, give me my gold, or whatever
me
he
gold.
Says.
Me gold. If he came in right now and just started rambling about he's going to kill everybody before me gold, if he doesn't get me gold back,
I
would be weirded out.
The entire movie didn't even need to exist almost because he's with his gold in the beginning.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden his gold isn't there anymore.
We'll get into this, but I feel like he wants his.
He wants people
like he
to
wants
want
people
his gold.
To steal his gold so that he can kill them and then get his gold back because he doesn't
and
really have another purpose. In life.
And how did he survive for 10 years? I was so confused about that.
I don't know. Is he just...
he ate bugs, I guess?
I don't understand. But so before we get into many plot holes, which there
lots
are,
of questions.
Eric, when you saw this yesterday for the first time
I
ever.
Saw this movie yesterday. I was 36 years old. And it was
very scary. Did you jump into the car?
I started jumping. I jumped into my car. I jumped off my car
now. You did.
Because I thought it would be there to catch me.
Scary.
And I mean, it's one of those things that I did because Ben told me to do it. So I did
it. That happens a lot.
So you're welcome, Ben.
To me, too.
Was there anything you enjoyed at all in it?
No, I always like seeing movies that other people saw as kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, people are huge fans of them. And then, because I didn't grow up in the U.S., I don't have the context that everyone else does. Like, I had the same thing happen with Star Wars. With the kids' movie, what is the kids' movie? Where there's like a monster and they go into this like shit, like looking for the something, like a treasure hunt, and there's a monster.
The Goonies?
The Goonies, yes. The Goonies.
I was thinking of a cartoon because you were like, there's a monster.
So that movie, a director friend of mine quoted, he can quote the whole movie from beginning to end.
I love
like,
The Goonies.
It's like the best movie ever and you gotta watch it. And I finally watched it and I was like, oh, it's okay. And he just, like, lost it.
I'm sure that our fans are like, what? No! But it is true, though. It's like, it's, we do have an emotional attachment to movies that we saw as a kid, and some of them age really well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's also cultural... with kids' movies, there's definitely a difference, I would assume, in kids' movies... where you're from, and then from us too. It's like there's references and things that I get growing up as an 80s kid in like Americana that doesn't translate, you know, into other countries. And I think that even in your own country, sometimes when you watch movies, like I watched The Howling for Halloween, and people love that movie, and I fucking hated it. And I'm sorry to anybody who's a fan of The Howling out there, but if you've never seen it. I get that the werewolf effects are really cool in it, but it does not age well at all.
Right.
It's atrocious. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those things where there are certain movies that people just grab onto, like me and Garbage Pail Kids. I fucking love Garbage Pail Kids, and I can watch it now and admit it's terrible, but I still love
that's exactly how I felt about The Leprechaun, you know? Like, I thought...
Right.
See, that's the difference, though. Ben is still, like, gung-ho after watching Garbage Pail Kids as an adult. And he's like, no, it is a fantastic movie.
No, it's a terrible movie, but I love it.
We watched The Leprechaun, and it's like, no, this is terrible. This is, I mean, I'm sorry, writer-director.
I wonder, though, you know, people watch movies differently.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not disagreeing with you that it's terrible, because, you know, there's nothing really good about it. But... I mean,
I don't know.
Some
hearing
people
him
like,
say "me gold" is kind
I know.
Of entertaining.
It's crazy, but I watched it. That's what I can say.
Well,
about
that's good.
I watched it. Yeah,
good. Yeah, we did too.
It's a movie.
It is a movie with some horror elements,
and I watched
and
it.
Comedic elements as
and
well.
Jennifer Aniston is awesome. She's so beautiful.
She's gorgeous.
I love this. I love some of the quotes of her. Yes, American Werewolf is much better than The Howling. You're right.
I don't have my glasses on. Ooh.
Okay, so here we go.
The eye exam.
We're gonna try and do something fun here, which is the plot in under. What did you set it at? 2 minutes or three? Let's do two. Let's do two, just for fun. We're going to do the plot in under 2 minutes.
Okay.
We're going to start with you, Eric, and go.
You just have to say one thing.
Okay, well, Leprechaun is the best movie ever written, and this movie is about a leprechaun that shows up in someone's house.
Mm-hmm. The O'Grady residence.
The O'Grady residence.
An Irish residence.
An Irish residence.
That's in New Mexico?
Somewhere. Yes, North Dakota.
North Dakota.
Yes.
And I thought it was in Ireland the whole time.
Yes.
But it's there.
He stole the gold somehow. He found this leprechaun.
Yes.
He stole the gold. And then the leprechaun came back to stalk him.
And then he killed his wife.
And then years later
the guy has a stroke,
and the leprechaun gets stuck in this box, and there's a four-leaf clover on top of the box, so the leprechaun can't lift it, but apparently, once he finally does come out, he comes out the side anyway, so I don't know why...
It's really
that
arbitrary.
That doesn't really make sense.
He could shake the box enough that the four-leaf clover would eventually fall off.
Exactly.
Or a gust of wind never came in the basement.
And he lived by eating bugs.
I guess. They never really make that
He was there for 10 years. So 10 years later,
10 years later,
Jennifer Aniston's dad buys the house, and they move there, and Jennifer Aniston is a rich bitch from L.A. who hates the country.
She's a vegetarian.
Yes. She's very serious about that.
But she has cow
shoes. Hunky McNosleeves comes with a purple shirt.
With three guys who paint.
Which, at first, it's really confusing where they come from.
And why is there a child painting? Like, what is...
Child labor laws don't exist in North Dakota.
I think that whole business shouldn't exist.
Okay, the leprechaun comes back because Ozzy is down there fooling around. Ozzy, the most offensive character in movie history.
The poor guy.
Basically, leprechaun bites the dad's hand. They take him to a hospital. Oh, God, I gotta finish this. Take him to a hospital. Then leprechaun stalks him there. They go back to the house for some reason.
And then he rides a tricycle.
They shoot him a bunch of times. He doesn't die. Then they find out that there's O'Grady's still alive. He just had a stroke. They go to a nursing home, just Jennifer Aniston.
O'Grady's still alive.
Yeah, he's the guy in the nursing home.
Yes.
So they go to the nursing home, they find out that they need to kill him with a four-leaf clover, they come back, they shoot the leprechaun a bunch, the kid puts the four-leaf clover on a stick of gum, and shoots it in his mouth, goes, fuck you, leprechaun! Boom! Lucky Charms, sorry, fuck you, Lucky Charms, doom! And movie done.
Rainbows.
Boom.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to admit something right now. I did not know Renee that O'Grady was
alive. Renee started dozing off
it was probably like the last 10-15 minutes that I started getting really tired, and
I kept nudging her.
I did pretty well.
We have to talk this. Hey, somebody loves your accent, Eric.
Except,
oh, well, thank you very much.
Three Guys That Paint. You're right. That's the new sitcom.
It
was going to come out the same year as Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place, but that show caught on.
Too many numbers. Too many numbers.
Three Guys That Paint just...
One of them is only 12 years old.
Yes. So it wasn't horrible when it came out, I'm sure, because it was kind of... Here's the thing.
It was
this
scary
movie,
at the
I can't,
time.
The biggest thing I can't figure out about this movie is I feel like it has to be a comedy. It has to be a horror comedy. There's no way that the director thought that he was making something... is super scary. It's so campy. There's
Very
like
campy.
He gets on a tricycle and he rides it in fast motion.
He
and
keeps
catches
finding
up
his little vehicles. He found the little car too.
Every time he needs something, it appears. And what I don't understand is, like, he had these magical powers. Why didn't he just bust out of the box?
This is the this is the biggest plot hole I have with the entire movie, is that he has these powers that are never really defined. And he can teleport, apparently.
Right.
So if he can teleport, why doesn't he just teleport himself to wherever he needs to go instead of... He makes like a go-kart with a pitchfork at the end at one point that somehow is maybe his powers are that he can super strengthen up the vehicle, because he hits a giant truck with this tiny go-kart
and
the truck flips over.
With all those people in it.
That was amazing.
That was...
Because the tiny car hits the huge truck and the truck just... Goes.
I almost fell off the couch. God. It was one of the funniest things. So in the beginning... Here's where the power starts. So in the beginning, you hear this creepy child singing "Twinkle Twinkle," right? Where he's like,
yes.
"Twinkle Twinkle."
Why can he take anyone's voice? That's what I also don't understand.
He can't, right?
He
can take anybody's
voice.
He
talks like the cop in the cop car.
I should have researched more about like leprechauns' abilities.
I looked up.
I think it's more fun just
Wikipedia.
I'd love to just base all my opinion on leprechaun powers based on this movie and not any actual myths.
They do mend and make shoes.
That
because I did not understand the shoe thing. So I was like, is this something leprechauns actually do?
Shoes.
And that's what they're known for in Ireland, is they're making and mending shoes.
So they're like demented,
they really wanted to add that element into
the
film.
They're like demented Santa's elves is what they are. And
yes.
And maybe that explains
the
sound clip. Where's the Santa Claus sound clip? An N?
So good.
That's when he's supposed to like jump out and scare them down the chimney, but he announces his entrance and then he comes out and goes, "I'm right here and I ain't no Santa Claus." Like, who was any of the actors thinking, "Oh man, Leprechaun's gonna kill us. Thank God Santa Claus coming in to save the day."
You know what is interesting is that they, like, I think the writer-director took everything from horror films and did the opposite with the leprechaun. You know, like, he's fast, he says things, he does really odd things, like cleaned all those shoes and left them out.
That scene was hilarious. When they're like, "We gotta distract him," and they throw all the boots and shoes, it's definitely, Leprechaun needs a shoe-shining intervention. Hashtag shoe-shining intervention. Because he gets very distracted from the task at hand when any shoes... Like, Jennifer Aniston is able to escape just because they threw a bunch of boots. And he's like, "Ha-ha, fuck my pot of gold. I'm just going to shine these shoes. Me shoes. Me loving shining my shoes." I sounded a little Jar Jar Binks there, but I was trying to be Warwick Davis.
Oh, God.
By the way, which we wanted to say that Warwick Davis, this is not in any way his fault. He's pretty creepy and awesome as
he's
the
right
leprechaun.
He's a great actor.
His dialogue's terrible. He's awesome in Willow.
Hey,
he's awesome as Life's Too Short.
We all do things that we're not proud of, right?
He's just done seven.
We
of them.
All have.
Just, hey, he's making a paycheck, basically.
I don't blame him.
I don't judge him. I'm not going to judge that. What I am going to judge is the storyline.
Oh, my
and
God.
And how this girl goes to be with her father, and he has these three guys. And you don't think he would mention that? Like, "Oh, hey, honey, by the way, I'm working on this new house."
Oh, they
and
were
need
with
some-
him?
Weren't they clean? They were painting his house.
They show up. Hunky. I don't know his real name, but I like calling him Hunky McNosleeves that comes up. He looks like he stepped right out of a Bon Jovi video.
For three guys who paint, can't paint. Yeah, it took them.
Three guys that paint.
it had this much on the shutter of red paint, and he's showing Jennifer Aniston how to do it. So the dad is paying for these guys to be there, yeah. And then the daughter's actually painting the house.
They're the worst painters in history. They get more paint on themselves than, because they're painting for several hours, it would seem. And when they leave, because the dad's been bit by the leprechaun, they only have maybe 3 feet of it painted, and then like a strip of red.
And they run out of paint.
They run out of paint.
She goes, "We don't have any more paint."
Yay. They just
painted like this much.
They only plan for a doormat. That's all they plan for. They're like, "Ah, guys, I mean, we work really slow.
Business.
We're very intricate." Hunky McNose leaves.
And why were they gonna sleep over there?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
You're painting at the house, and then you also have to stay at the house you're painting.
It's like a bed and breakfast. He shows up out of nowhere, and they don't establish that. Oh, we're at the in that scene. They don't introduce themselves. They don't say, "Hi, my name's Tori. Hi, my name's Hunky McNose leaves." They say nothing of that nature.
No.
That's why I don't know his name to this day. Since I watched it yesterday.
Muscles.
A whole day. I've been pondering this.
It's been a while.
But it's weird, because he just shows up in the front yard, in the picket fence, and she's not creeped out by this dude at all, and she's like, "I'm over this place," until Hunky McNoseleaves convinces her.
Oh.
Like, challenges her.
Yeah, you're afraid.
I don't care, there's a tarantula downstairs.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got this guy.
That part really bothered me, because I was like, she was like set on going to a fancy hotel downtown to stay there and not stay in this awful house. She sees this guy. The guy says, "What, are you afraid of the house?" And she's like,
"No."
And she's like, "Let's go inside." And I was like, "What?"
Her mind completely changed when she saw that mullet blowing in the wind.
Those biceps and mullet combination and purple nose sleeves.
Honey, I would love to.
I'm gonna go get a purple nose sleeve shirt next Halloween. I got my Halloween costume, Hunky McNose sleeves,
and
you can be the leprechaun. How useless is the dad in this movie, too? He only serves as a plot device to bring her into the story. He gets his hand bit. They take him to the hospital. He never shows up the rest of the movie. I think he shows up in like the 80s action movie type shot when all the cops are arriving. And I think he comes out and hugs her.
He did?
But it doesn't look like him, so it very well could have just been like, "Hey, AD, get over here and pretend you're the dad. We only had him for 3 days." And the dad, you commented how he looks the same age.
Yeah, they definitely did not have a huge gay job. It's almost as if he auditioned for Hunky McNo sleeve shirt, and
really
the casting was like, "We really like him. Let's age him up, and he can be the father."
Instead of Hunky McNo.
Hollywood. You know that happens all the time.
Yes, we do. We know that happens a lot.
I play 20-year-olds. And 15-year-olds
all the time. I play a little girl.
Do your 10-year-old boy voice that you do for voiceovers.
I have to do weird faces, and usually I'm not on camera for it, so this is kind of weird.
I love it.
That's great.
We were talking about earlier the most offensive character potentially in movie history.
Oh, yes.
Ozzy, the dim-witted brother.
The other painter. Is he a brother?
He's their brother. They're all brothers, I think.
Are
what?
They?
I think.
No, it's just
I
the
thought
two
just
brothers.
Friends.
Who's
and
two
then
brothers?
Ozzy's the friend.
I thought that Ozzy and the kid.
No. That Alex. What that was his
then
name,
then why did
right?
they
Alex,
hire
the little,
Ozzy
the
if he's not
boy
a little family member?
Sleeve.
Hunky McNoseleaves.
Hunky McNoseleaves.
Right.
I'm so sorry.
Hunky is his first name. Mick is his
Mick
middle name.
Noseleaves. That's the young brother. They're siblings. Ozzy is little boy Alex's friend.
That makes it even weirder then. If like he just made friends with this like strange kid. It's super sad, and
kicking
it's
things,
just
things.
Break the set, why
don't you? Sorry.
I want to
play,
table.
I
want to
play the, I want to play the sound clip of Ozzy operation speech before we play this.
Garbage Pail Kids versus Leprechauns.
That'd be amazing. In cinemas. Oh, God, that'd be a great film. So this sound clip, the operation speech, clip B, is one of the most offensive things I've heard in a movie. It sounds like it comes out of a really bad Lifetime movie. Like something
where it's
well-intentioned by the
it's
kid.
It's well-intentioned.
Honestly,
you can tell. It's like the kid's trying to be nice, but what he says is horrible. Let's play this.
Okay.
And I buy comics every week.
Yeah, but you know what else?
What else?
We can get you an operation.
For what?
To make you smart. So we can go to the hospital and have them operate and fix your brain.
But I'm smart.
Aww.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, sort of. See, what I mean is we can make you real smart. That way people won't make fun of you.
Wait.
They make fun of me?
Not in front of you. Only behind your back.
Oh, God. Just when he thought it couldn't get any worse, he says, we'll make you smarter so people won't make fun of you. And then it's super sad, and he's like, people make fun of me? Well, not to your face. only behind your back.
Well, it would have been great if Ozzy became the protagonist.
Yeah.
And he became the hero. You know, he rose up awesome. And was like, haha, I'm outsmarted all of you assholes. I know how to do. That's what they really should have done. If they're going to add this element and be like, we got to make you smarter. And then you're just like, what? Why are they being so mean to this poor guy? Like, first of all, let's be kind.
That's a great idea. We should reboot Leprechaun.
They should have made him, like, the hero. And he would have known because he's telling everyone there's a Leprechaun. No one believes him. They
should have. That is a great point. That's the main flaw with this movie. If you're going to bring up something and have a character that's such a stereotype and an offensive stereotype, and then have this scene where you have this, like, weird, like, super sad, like, after-school special music.
And he found the gold. This kid's being an asshole. Yeah, he found a bunch of gold.
But this is
because of his friend.
He did swallow the gold, though.
He did.
Oh, God.
I
have that sound clip, too. Where's the swallow the gold clip? Which one is it?
It was a giant coin. He didn't
I think it's
cough.
Gold coin, yeah.
Or choke.
Hold on.
Oh, my God. I swallowed that gold coin.
So he's like, I know how to figure out if the coin's real gold. I'll bite it. And then he takes a bite, and then you cut away to the kid, and you just hear him go, oh, oh, oh. And then that clip comes in, and he goes, oh, my God, I swallowed a gold coin.
Oh, poor Ozzy.
There's no way to accidentally swallow a gold coin. It is giant. You cannot accidentally swallow a gold coin.
Like, what was his reasoning?
Pretty big coin. Like a dollar coin.
If it was a chocolate coin.
It was
real chocolate.
And why is Ozzy the only one with a southern accent? Everyone else has perfect American accents, and Ozzy's just like, hey, guys.
Because they really wanted to make him different. They were like, what are all the ways to make this guy?
Just overalls with paint covered. Which, doesn't that paint get on anything? I don't understand. I feel like it would get on something. I love Flowers for Algernon. Eat your heart out. That's amazing. So, the rules we talked about here's the thing I didn't understand is this... So, the leprechaun's locked in the crate,
mm-hmm.
and then they see the rainbow, and the rainbow appears, and they chase it to find a pot of gold. Did the leprechaun will the gold to come, or did the gold come find the leprechaun?
It's like, was the chicken before the egg? Like,
and
which one
happen,
was it?
Why did
gold
it happen
before
10
leprechaun?
Years? Like,
after he woke up.
What's this arbitrary just
why would
finding
the
gold the
be
gold?
In the truck?
Wasn't
if it,
in
if
the
it was
house?
From the house, it would have been, didn't he have it in the drawer, or did he take it with him when he shot him downstairs?
But then how would, no, because he had a stroke, and he was probably.
I get it. The gold was left in the truck by O'Grady.
Oh.
And that's where the rainbow started from, the gold.
But how did
it get in the truck? It still makes no sense to me.
How did it get in the truck?
And then I love at that moment, the kid is not weirded out. He's like, oh, gold just appeared at the end of a rainbow. And Ozzy's still like,
there's a
leprechaun. He's like, fuck you, Ozzy. There's no leprechaun.
There's a rainbow and there's a truck with gold, but I don't believe in any leprechaun
here. Yeah, you're
here.
Right. Ozzy's completely off base here, kid. It's completely absurd. And then there's the music in it. It's very happy and whimsical, like a Disney film.
Yeah.
It's so strange.
Or like a Hallmark movie.
Or like
you
a Hallmark
said.
Movie.
I mean, they kept it real in
did
that
this
moment.
Movie come out in theaters?
I think so, yeah. I think it did.
I don't know.
The toy car we talked about, oh my God, the best kill of the entire movie. Can you guess what kill it was? You probably know, honey. Do you know what my favorite kill is in the entire movie?
Do I know?
It's the most absurd thing ever. Pogo stick.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, yes.
The pogo stick kill.
Pogo stick, yeah.
First of all, I don't think a pogo stick would do that.
I think it would. With enough force, if you're a super strength...
How much do you think he weighs? The leprechaun is a little
like
man.
Maybe one of his superpowers is death by pogo stick.
That's true.
He can build go-karts
that should be in Mortal Kombat, right?
He can build go-karts
death
that
by
flip.
Pogo stick.
I like it.
Fatality.
Leprechaun should be in the next Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat 11, let's have Leprechaun.
Great.
That death scene is so funny and ridiculous. And he, like, hops in fast motion.
The guy gave him the gold coin.
It doesn't make any sense. He's like, just take the golden coin back. I don't want it. And he's like, fuck you. You didn't know I was evil or even looking for my gold, but I'm going to kill you anyways. And then I'm not going to kill any of the four main cast. There's no stakes because they don't kill the dad. Like, I could see if they killed the dad instead of bit his hand. They kill none of the main cast, so
they
you're
bring
never
other characters in the movie
arbitrary
for like 5 minutes.
How many
so
times have I said
them?
Arbitrary this podcast? It's,
I don't know.
It's the word of the day.
It should be a drinking game.
Arbitrary.
Drinking
no, but it's like they bring in all these outside characters to kill off, and don't they right. could have killed. They want to make a super sad kill off. Don't
the,
kill
the
off
little
Ozzy,
boy,
but kill off little boy, no. or kill yeah. off kill off Hunky McNosleeves. So Jennifer Aniston had somebody needed to rise to be the hero
somebody
other than
to
the
rise.
Kid.
Yeah, it just. Yeah.
Because the kid is... here's another.
He's an asshole.
Here's another
you know
clip.
Kid.
This kid is creepy. The creepy kid. This he says this to Ozzy. This is yet another... This guy is a psychopath in the making. Leprechaun 2 should have been him being a psychopathic killer, because that's what he sounds like in this
Someone
clip.
Someone said I'm Irish and offended. I don't know why.
I hope... you should be offended by the leprechaun.
Do you think you could kill a leprechaun?
Ozzy, you can kill anything. You just gotta know how to do it.
Terrified.
Now me, give me a 357 Magnum, press it to the little green critter's temple.
It gets worse.
And bam! Brains and guts and oozing, cruddy stuff dripping all down its head. The guy's gone with the capital dead.
Terrible.
There are so many sociopathic things about it.
He should have been arrested.
Brains and guts and gooey, cruddy stuff all dripping down the walls. Shoot him in the head, he'll be, his brain will be dead, or so, he, like, does a creepy Dr. Seuss rhyme at the end.
It was in one of his books that he got.
What is wrong with this kid?
So many
How
things.
Does he know what a 357 Magnum is?
I don't even know what right. a 357 Magnum is.
Gooey, cruddy stuff? That is super descriptive and creepy. This kid is scarier than the leprechaun.
That's very true.
Maybe this movie actually is that the leprechaun's the protagonist, and he's trying to stop the world from being, you know, overrun by these psychopaths like this child. And that's why he doesn't kill any of the other family members, because this kid is who he's going for. He's a son. I'm really reaching
I know,
here
I'm really
find,
trying. Yeah. I'm trying to justify all the other people he kills.
It doesn't make any sense. This movie rips off. This movie rips off so many things.
I'm
there's,
sorry.
There's the Sam Raimi fast forward through the woods like Evil Dead. There's the Freddy Krueger moment through the phone. We said Back to the Future too when he shows up on roller. Where do you get
I
the roller skates?
I just don't understand why.
That's right. That was so weird.
It's if you're going to kill off characters, you have to kill off a few characters that you care about. Otherwise, we're watching a movie where you're just killing people and we're like, well, who the hell was that guy?
Yeah.
I don't really care. That was
right.
pretty fun to watch. And, like, nobody cares.
And Bill, I'm part Irish. I know I'm not probably as Irish as you are, but I'm part Irish, and this movie did offend me as an Irishman. And it offended me worse than people pretending they're Irish on St. Patty's Day just to get drunk and throw up on the streets. So I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This is an intervention for Irish people, so we can all deal with the trauma of this movie on our Irish heritage.
I now feel like I sort of have to watch every other Leprechaun to see.
Oh, that's seven
I
movies.
I know, but I kind of feel like I need
the new
to know.
Prequel.
Like, do they eventually? Like have a more of a plot than
we
what
tried
we
to watch part of the second one, and it started off in like medieval
times. It was
awful.
The
and
second
he was dressed
one.
As like a
the
like,
second part of
and
this,
and it seemed even lower budget than the first.
Oh yeah, because they all were direct to video after that. But somebody said Leprechaun in the Hood is
a good one.
Americans,
should we watch it?
Americans don't know guns. Funny, that's a good point. The kids probably fired more guns than the leprechaun or anybody else we know. You're right. It was North Dakota.
Yeah.
Good point. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we also, I want to get into some more sound clips, but I want to talk, I feel like this whole movie's a plot hole. It's hilarious, though. So just in case people are worried that we're bashing it too much, yes, it's terrible, but I also laughed harder at this than some comedies I've seen this year, because it's
yes.
ridiculous.
It is great. I think it's one of those movies that, like, you can, especially during Halloween time, if you're going to have like, a group of friends over, if you want to watch one of those movies, this would be one of those movies.
You
because
play
there's
a drinking
so
game.
Many, yeah, there's just so many great moments where they have these one-liners, which.
Anytime he says
we'll
me gold. Anytime
and
he says
be,
me gold.
You'd blackout drunk by that point.
More deaths have been caused by this movie. People playing drinking games, listening for them saying me gold. I'm looking for me gold. Ah, you got me gold.
My
I'm pretty
favorite
sure his
is
lines
when
were
he
just
got
that.
When he got me gold back.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He
can we play that?
Can we play that? That's my favorite
it's
moment
the, me
in
gold.
The movie.
Me powers are returning. Sounds like me gold.
Sounds like me gold.
Looks like me go. It smells like me go.
And this is the best one.
Tastes like me go.
Wait, not taste. Wait.
Oh, that's it. It tastes like me gold.
No, but remember, me gold is me gold.
Oh, yeah, me gold, me delicious gold. There's He's another one. Delicious
finally,
gold.
At the end.
Delicious gold is what he says then.
Imagine, though, if you're the actor, if you're Warwick, and you have to, like,
oh my God.
Watch this.
Maybe I didn't send you me gold, delicious gold. It's
at the end of all the. It sounds like me gold. It feels like me gold. It tastes like me gold.
And you can drive a truck through every one of those pauses.
It sings like me gold.
It's so long.
So what else could the gold be? It tastes like me gold. It smells like me gold.
It feels like me. Does it say that?
I think it says feels.
It feels like me gold.
It laughs like me gold.
It shines like me gold. I love that Eric sounds
like to Yoda.
Me gold it is, yes.
Oh my god.
It could be so many things. Then there's in the end when Jennifer Aniston is running through the hospital and he's speed tricycling after her. How does she, with her moderate pace, outrun a speed tricycle? There's no rules in this. There's no rules.
What about when he follows her from the hospital in a wheelchair? Remember that part?
Yeah, she speeds up in the truck, and then he comes zooming down in the wheelchair.
Wheelchair, like on the road.
Yeah, and then he, in fast motion. It looks like a Benny Hill movie with a creepy leprechaun. It's amazing. It was so funny, and that's where I feel like they had to know they were making something just ridiculous. Because it's if you watch it as like a super campy, fun comedy horror film, you're going to love it. Don't get me wrong. This movie is terrible, but it's fun as shit to watch. And I will watch Leprechaun in the Hood. Thank you. Has Renee seen MacGruber?
Everybody wants to know if I've seen MacGruber.
She hasn't seen MacGruber because I watched it one night when she fell asleep.
It was stuck.
And it actually broke my PlayStation 3. And my PlayStation 3.
I have not seen MacGruber. I'm sorry. MacGruber. I've seen a lot of other things. Is this something you talk about all the time? I guess so. Everyone wants to know.
Wow.
So let's go through some of the sound clips and let's see what we have. What happened when we played, Jonathan? Let's see. Let's do Burn in Hell.
On the bottom right.
Burn in Hell. Let's do that. Fine.
Green bastard!
Oh, I didn't hear the first part of that.
Let me replay that.
Burn in hell, you little green bastard!
That's, I was at an Irish pub this year for St. Paddy's Day. And there was this guy.
You're gonna like tell me something.
Yeah,
serious.
No. There was this guy that came
Something's
in. It was an Irish pub. Everybody was Irish in the pub.
Okay.
Some jackass frat guy came in wanting green beer, and this was the one Irish pub in LA that does not serve green beer on St. Paddy's Day because it is offensive.
Was I with you?
And he came in, and he's like, "I want some green beer, aye, Lucky Charms," and we're all like, "Fuck you, you're not Irish." And so we all put some green dye into a beer, and we tossed it on him and screamed,
"Burn in hell, you little green bastard!"
Okay,
and then we lit him on fire. We lit him on fire.
That sounds glorious.
We committed murder, because beer is flammable. No, I should have said Irish whiskey. We doused him in Irish whiskey. Do you have anything to say to that? Burn in hell, you little green bastard?
Do you
have any, try and throw something out.
Oh, God, me first?
Eric, whatever.
Does it have to be about
whatever
leprechauns?
You want. No, whatever you want.
Okay, you go.
I like throwing guests under the box to play the improv game.
I was gonna say someone yelled that to me once, and it's because I have nothing. You go.
That's what they said.
Born in hell, you little green bastard.
It's because you were a mascot for what team was it? The Mets? I don't know what team's green. I don't know sports. I was trying to save
Martians.
That one. The Martians.
I was flying a UFO up in space.
Oh, really?
I was. I was orbiting.
Orbiting?
Orbiting.
You were ordering the orbit to happen.
I was orbiting Uranus.
Oh, God.
They're
going to have fun with that on.
Hashtag
orbiting Uranus.
I saw a UFO came into my eyesight, and they tried to laser. They shot laser beams at me. And I said to that little Martian man, I said,
"Born in hell, you little green bastard."
There's also I heard that actually O'Grady is going to make a cameo. This actor,
oh,
he's
going to
make a cameo in Independence Day 2.
Ooh,
It's going to be very exciting. He shows up kind of like what was his name? Randy Quaid showed up in the first one, and I don't want to spoil the end of Independence Day 2 for anybody, but apparently he just flies his plane. It's really similar to the first movie, and he blows up their mothership. It's pretty much just a rehashing, but as he does it, he yells this.
Born in hell, you little green bastard!
And then the whole thing blows up.
Oh, no.
I was watching Freddy vs. Jason. It's a new one coming out, actually. Robert Englund hasn't talked about
part
it yet.
Part two. Oh, God.
Part
Don't
two.
Tease people. They're going to be so pissed when that's not
so,
real.
So, So I was watching the ending to it, and I thought it was really interesting because all of a sudden, Mr. O'Grady, he pops in while they're fighting. They're having this huge fight scene, and it's insane, and there's flames and everything, and all of a sudden, Mr. O'Grady comes in, and he says to both Jason and Freddy, he says to them,
"Born in hell, you little green bastard!"
And at that point, we realized...
And they had green stains all over them.
At that point, we realized O'Grady's colorblind, and they were like, "O'Grady... Neither of them are green. Yeah. Let's take you back to your home." All right, let's see what else we have. I think we've done this one to death.
Fuck you, Lucky Charm.
Yes. Okay. So this is when the kid, in the end, the kid kills the leprechaun by sticking the four-leaf clover to a piece of gum that I guess he's been chewing that I haven't seen until this moment.
The whole movie.
And he slingshots it into his mouth. It happens out of nowhere.
He's got a really good aim.
Really good aim. And then the leprechaun disintegrates like the gremlin in the first Gremlins movie when it gets doused in water. So, but... I've heard this several times. My grandma, whenever I used to go to my grandma's to visit, my parents didn't like sugary cereal. Mm. They were really against it. And my grandma would always sneak me Lucky Charms and Honeycomb and all this stuff. And one time, my mom showed up early. She wasn't supposed to be there till noon. She showed up at 9 a.m. to come pick me up. She saw the bowl of Lucky Charms, and she smacked it out of my hands. Milk spilled all at skim milk, because that's what we drank as kids, so I didn't become, you know, I was lean. She smacked the Lucky Charms off the table, and she yelled,
"Fuck you, Lucky Charms."
And then my grandma washed her mouth out with soap because she is still her daughter.
I eat a lot of cereal, and sometimes I don't check the box to see if it's gluten free.
Mm-hmm.
And one time I was
it's
eating
okay, baby.
Cereal,
you can talk about
and
it.
And it was gluten. It had gluten in it.
Uh-huh.
And
it's okay.
So
I took
that bowl and I took that spoon. I flung the spoon up and I said to that bowl of cereal,
"Fuck you, Lucky Charms."
It was gluten. I eat gluten. I'm not gluten-free. I actually love gluten. I love pizza.
I actually, you know, this is something that happened to me a while ago. I actually, I witnessed my uncle's, I guess just my aunt, my uncle's wife. She was having a baby, and I was the only one available to take her to the hospital.
Uh-huh.
This happened, like, around 10 a.m., and I had just had breakfast. And I actually, she didn't speak English, so I had to go in the room with her to, like, talk to, like, translate to the doctor.
Uh-huh.
And as, like, she's, like, there in pain, I happened to take a peek, not meaning to, and I saw it. By eat, I mean the vagina.
Oh, and, vagina!
And I completely puked all over it.
Mm.
And that's when she yelled,
"Fuck you, Lucky Charms."
Yeah,
you
awful.
Puked all over your newborn nephew or niece.
It was, I'm not proud of it. I'm not proud of it.
Oh my god. Oh, I don't know how we top that. Is
either.
There anything else? I think,
catch me if you can.
That's actually
you know, the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, that was in the trailer.
That's in the trailer.
At the end
they
of
said,
it.
You should come see it, starring Leonardo DiCaprio in...
Catch me if you can.
Yeah, I actually... several babysitters when I was younger were weirded out by me, and maybe I saw this movie, I don't know what it was, but I would run around the house just nonstop with this cackle, and they'd chase me, and I would just throw things, and I would just constantly yell... And flush matchbox cars down the toilet and get them clogged. That's a true story. I flushed a matchbox car down the toilet one time, and the plumber had to come out and unearth it. And let's just say we couldn't use the matchbox car ever again. Oh, man. Catch me if you can.
That's
I don't think we have... this is another really arbitrary little girl's one. This is a weird clip.
Little girls shouldn't look for four-leaf clovers.
I don't understand.
What?
So
little girls shouldn't look for four-leaf clovers.
So they're all looking for four-leaf clovers.
But little girls shouldn't.
Specifically, is there a rule? I would love to know, and GMP audience, let me know if there's a rule somewhere where, like, little girls aren't allowed to look for four-leaf clovers in Irish history for some reason. Because it just seems like a very random line.
And I mean, let's be honest, Jennifer Aniston isn't a little girl. She's a woman
She's
this.
A woman.
So
yes.
What the hell is Leprechaun
he's
talking
a,
about?
He's a chauvinist.
When I think little girl, I think like a five-year-old looking for four-leaf clovers.
You know what, though?
Right.
I did.
So
I,
maybe he was just stating a fact. Maybe it wasn't like he was threatening her. He was just like, little girl.
Yeah.
So she knows. Like, oh,
yeah.
Okay, I'll make sure to carry
because,
that with me.
Four-leaf clovers are often in empty fields where any anything could happen.
Exactly.
And I actually, it was a motto of the Girl Scouts of America one year, because there's a movement amongst all the, there was like a little girl that started this movement where she was like, we need to change things up. We need new cookies. And the cookie I want is a four-leaf clover. And she started looking to find how to make it, how to make the perfect thing. And the upper Girl Scouts, who are like in their 90s now, the first that ever started it, they don't like change. So they shut it all down. They stormed in. They just dumped, you know, bleach in all the cookie mix so that they could never figure out the recipe again. They shredded everything. And they looked at the little girl that started the movement and said,
little girls should know the four-leaf clovers.
I guess there wasn't a laugh at the end of it, but yes. Yes, that was it. That was it.
I
don't know how we top Fuck You, Lucky Charms. Can we just play that again for the hell of it? Fuck You, Lucky Charms.
Fuck You, Lucky Charms.
I think that's the new slogan for Lucky Charms because, you know, they've been dipping
they
in
really
sales.
They really should put that on the commercials.
They've been dipping in sales, and the leprechaun on the front of Lucky Charms both offends Irish people and creeps kids
they
out.
They should have the movie Leprechaun
and just
on the box of cereal.
Yes, and just have them being killed on every box. And that it should be in the top, it should just say,
Fuck You, Lucky Charms.
It should just say, instead of General Mills, it should say, Fuck You, Lucky Charms.
Yeah.
Fucking
so
eat
it's
it.
Fuck You,
Lucky,
Lucky
Charms.
Charms.
Like, fuck you. Maybe it's saying, like, fuck you, eat
to
this, or you're not cool.
Well, maybe,
it's an open-ended thing.
Maybe it has to do with when they didn't, you know, wasn't it Post? I think Post makes this. I'm not sure. I can't remember now who actually makes it.
General Mills, maybe?
General Mills, yeah, you're right. They didn't want to put them too. They didn't want to put anything that was GMO, right?
Yeah.
So maybe
fuck you, GMOs. Lucky Charms.
So instead of listing if it has GMOs, they're actually just listing fuck you to the people.
I love it. The ingredients, if you read on Lucky Charms, actually, it just says ingredients.
Fuck you, Lucky Charms.
Because it's like, if you're eating Lucky Charms, you don't fucking care what the ingredients
are.
I
mean,
just eat the Lucky Charms.
It's very true.
Oh, I think we go out on that. That was fantastic.
Yes.
But first, before we do our exit music, where can we find you, Eric? Where can everybody find you? What do you got coming up? Where can people find you on the social media sphere?
On the social media sphere, I'm at Eric, E-R-I-C-K, the letter J, and then Chavarria, C-H-A-V-A-R-R-I-A. Good luck remembering that. And I'm on Facebook, I'm on the Instagram,
the Twitter,
Yeah, I think if you just look up my name,
yeah,
and you'll see me. As far as seeing me,
yes,
in movies,
oh,
you can
yes.
see me on The Funhouse Massacre, written by some genius new writers that are just like
that.
Ready to take Hollywood by the balls,
the big
and,
balls.
Yes, it's
the
a
Kiwis.
Great movie. It's fun and there's a lot of blood and you'll have a good time. I also have a small part on Our Brand is Crisis,
awesome.
Which is out. Yeah,
nice. You're double dipping in the theaters November.
I'm triple dipping.
That's awesome.
There's there's something. Oh yeah, there's a series on Amazon Prime. It's called Borderline.
Yeah.
And that one, yeah, that one, it's a comedy about drugs, the drug cartels.
So it's like the comedy version of Narcos.
Yeah.
Nice.
And my catchphrase there is, fuck you, Lucky Charms.
Fuck you, Lucky Charms.
We say that in every movie.
At Eric J. Chavarria on Twitter. Renee, where can everybody find you, and what do you got coming up?
Same with me. I am at Renee Dorian, not Renee Begley, on the tweet or the Facebook or the Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
It's still at Renee Dorian. Sorry, don't be offended.
It's okay, I'm super offended.
But yeah, we have this feature film that, you know, we're working on, and we've been getting some good write-ups and things like that.
The trailer's online now. You can see it at the Funhouse Massacre movie.com. You can see the
yes,
trailer.
It's a,
all
it's
kinds
a
of
very
posts.
Short title for you to search. But I also have a couple audiobooks that are coming out.
What are the titles?
I have Goosebumps, which I'm hoping.
Whoa.
Yeah, which is very
so amazing.
Night of the Living Demi Part 2. I read the entire story, and it is a fun story, I have to say.
So if you got kids that don't like reading and would rather listen to the book, you
That's,
know,
yeah.
if you need to kill some time in traffic,
yeah,
Night of the Living
yes,
Demi. What
please.
Was the other, the vampire
the
one?
I just did.
It's the first oh in the trilogy, right?
It's the first in the trilogy, and I'm blanking. Oh my god, why am I blanking on it right
I'll
now?
I'll stall for you. it's called, I forget it, Saved
oh,
on
wait.
My Computer.
Oh no, wait, just
fuck you, Lucky Charms.
Fuck you, Lucky Charms.
Something royal blood. Royal blood?
Yes.
Royal
blood.
The royals.
The royals.
Something
the
it's
royals.
Something royal.
She's really good at this.
I've done a lot of audiobooks. I can't remember. I'm so sorry to the author if you're watching. But please get the book.
And your
it's
website.
Really
What's your
one.
Website?
It's a really fun one.
Do you guys have a website?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's ericchavarria.com.
And you are?
Renee-Dorian.com. Someone took Renee Dorian.
All right. And I'm at the Ben Begley. I just changed my name. So it's not Ben Begley Comedy. I don't have to be funny all the time because Lord knows I'm not. So follow me at the Ben Begley. And we'll be back next week with another episode of Guilty Movie Pleasures with Wild Man Josh McCuga. He will be back in the studio. But until
Wild
then, thanks
man.
For watching. And what is your Guilty Movie Pleasure?
Fuck you, Lucky Charms.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.